With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, I'd like to take a minute to tell you about how to sign up for Cavs texts and analysis from me, Chris Fedor. Here's how it works. I'll text you a few times a day with the inside scoop and analysis on the team. What I'm hearing, I give it to you before things happen. Like Kevin Love being reprimanded for his outburst. Like the Cavs losing the pre-lottery coin flip to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like Lindsey Gottlieb's decision to leave. You get the juicy nuggets even before they're up on Cleveland.com. You can also text me directly, day, night, whenever, but I mean, let's not get too carried away. Still, it's a great way to cut through the clutter of social media. Try a 14-day free trial. You can cancel anytime. All it takes is one text, but you won't want to cancel. So many subscribers have joined and stayed over the last year. They love it and interact with me on a daily basis. You can too. $3.99 a month, which is less than 14 cents a day. It's a perfect time to join. It's the run-up to the NBA draft, free agency around the corner. It's a critical offseason for the Cavs. Go to cleveland.com/Cavs, click the blue banner at the top of the page, or text me, 216-208-4499, 216-208-4499.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Wine and Gold Talk podcast here on Cleveland.com. I am your host, Hayden Grove, joined, as always, by our Cleveland Cavaliers beat reporter for Cleveland.com, Mr. Chris Fedor. And once again, back-to-back weeks, we have a special guest joining us. Last week, we were blessed enough to have Chad Ford. We had Bobby Marks. And now, we have none other than, I don't want to call him Mr. Cavalier, because that's Austin. But certainly a very, very prominent member of the Cleveland Cavaliers family for many, many years, Mr. Larry Nance Jr. joining us today on the podcast. And Larry, just first of all, how has the offseason been? What have you been up to? How are you doing?
Life has been good. I am just here in Cleveland,
been here in Cleveland just about the whole time. And it's been good. It's been good. Back and forth to the gym, getting to
enjoy my summer a little bit. Nice.
When you're at the gym, how are the COVID protocols? I mean, is it kind of more back to normal than it was like a year ago?
A little bit. So for me, you know, it's different for vaccinated
versus non-vaccinated. So for me,
I have my shot. So
like for me, I walk in and it's like it was 2 years ago before COVID. So it's wonderful. And, you know, it's nice to have a place where we can go and just live like nothing happened.
So Larry, for people that want to know what it's like for an athlete in the off season, what would you say your daily routine is when it goes to Cleveland Clinic courts, on the court versus in the weight room, things along those lines?
So summertime, yeah, we're working out 5 days a week right
now, Monday, Friday.
Most of the time I'll wake up, get to the gym around 9:30, get a little bit of treatment in, do some stretching,
do some foam rolling and loosen out, hit the weight room around 10:15, depending on how long that takes.
A whole lot of stuff, for me, it's a whole lot of, surrounding my knees with muscles like I just did this past season.
Make sure they stay healthy and
just every player has their own unique
program.
And then from there, we're straight to the court.
You know, so I'm on the court around 11:30. And,
it's a whole array of things. Ball handling, shooting.
Shooting's the main one for me right now. Ball handling,
shooting. Footwork, post moves. It's just, it's court work, So anything goes and we're working on it all. So it's a lot of times coming in the gym in the summertime
and looking for a
refined basketball player is not
what you're going to get. You're going to get a whole lot of fumbling the ball and, guys learning new things,
getting uncomfortable out of the things they normally do.
So, am I
normally coming off
pin downs, taking one dribble with the left, crossing it back between my legs and going to finish? No, But you know what? In the summertime, you tighten the handle and we're working on stuff just to expand our games and whatnot. So, you know, it's a whole lot of, and that's where your game, that's where your game grows. And so that's what we're doing in the summertime.
You spent a lot of time on the 3-point line. I mean, is that still something you're working at and getting after this summer?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's been done nothing but get better since
I started shooting it. And, you know, I
think the biggest thing with me is
shooting it. You know, these guys get on me all the time about like, dude,
you can shoot the heck out of it. Why aren't you letting it go more?
And so, you know, it's just the rep for me. You know, shooting threes is something I didn't do until 2 years ago. And so it's definitely a, you know, a learning process with no shots in there, when to take them and whatnot. So, you know, again, you know, just reps so that when I do take them, I'm confident in them and you know, hopefully we'll see another jump of percentages here.
I know a lot of different players have their own little thing that they do. Kevin is big into yoga. Kevin Love, that is, big into yoga. Darius mixed in boxing, I want to say, last year. You know, some guys do biking. Colin Sexton was saying he bikes a lot. Do you have, like, that one thing that is, like, mixed into your workout regimen that people wouldn't expect because you're a basketball player?
Yeah, so for me, it is yoga.
You're saying Kevin does yoga. Look, Kevin does kayaking and backpacking and vacationing and I've never seen Kevin Love do yoga. Now, if you want to say like a Versa climber or something else, I'll hear you. But Kev does not do yoga.
Wait. Hold on. So then what is it that before games, he has his little timer on his phone and he's doing all these weird stretches and weird poses? Like, what is that called if that's not yoga?
Man, that is him stretching.
It's just
there is a large difference. That is Kevin with his little, you know, whatever app it is, and he's stretching, getting ready for the game. Yoga, Kevin does not do. I would pay to see Kevin do yoga.
I would pay. Yeah, I've never
seen it. I've never seen it. It would be,
you know, that needs to be his next post or something, because I need to see it.
I love it. You should pay him. You should pay him to do some hot yoga. I think he'd probably accept that payment.
He might. I don't know. He's got
some high bidders for his services.
So that means your thing is yoga then?
Yeah. I mean, I do a little bit of yoga, and I'm more so just messing around
with Kev. But
I do some yoga, you know, just loosening.
It's great. I think it's great for athletes, you know, just loosening up your joints, you know, loosening up, you know,
muscles, tendons, and we are, you know,
as a whole, basketball players, we're pretty, you know, a pretty tight
bunch. We're calves,
our Achilles, our quads, our hamstrings are pretty tight because we do a whole lot of, you know, fast twitch type actions. And so I think yoga does a great job of kind of opening us up and you know, expanding
within ourselves, which is great.
What's up with the boxing stuff? It seems like everybody on the roster is doing boxing stuff this offseason.
That was more so just like we had a few guys in that week and you know, they wanted to go do something different. So they
boxed, but I don't think guys are maintaining that. That was more so just like one or two days that guys you know, went to
Strong Style down in Strong
or down in Independence and got some good work.
Just some different cross training stuff.
How many guys are in there with you in the at the Independence facility? I mean, obviously you're kind of a different situation living here, kind of being from here. Obviously guys are kind of all over the country. How many guys are, do you see, you know, they come in and out throughout the summer?
Yeah, guys come in and out throughout the summer. Obviously
Darius has been, he came in once this summer, but he's been through it.
You know, he went to Vegas for the, you know, for that whole USAB and went to Dylan's wedding. So now
he's, you know, he deserves some time off. I hope I don't see him.
He needs to take some time off. Isaac has been here.
On the other hand, Isaac's been here every day. You know, that kid,
I had to beg him to
go home. He needed to go home.
It seemed like he didn't
take any time off after the season. So,
you know, he needed to go home and take some time off. So I'm glad he is. Jarrett popped in.
Now, Colin's
been here.
You know, Broderick Thomas, Lamar Stevens
been here. seeing Kevin Gelly's been in. I mean, we've had a lot of guys here. Dean Wade's been in, you know, maybe missed one or two days this summer, so he's been in every single day. No, it's been good. We've got a good group, you know, more, I would say more so than any other summer before that I've been.
It's got to be much easier for you. Go ahead, Chris.
Larry, is there anything that speaks to you? Anything that shows you in preparation for this upcoming season?
I think it shows me we're getting younger. You know, when you get guys, you know, that was me. You know, when I was in LA, I really wasn't in Cleveland too much in the summertime. I was in LA working out. You know, all the young guys, you know, you stay in your city, you know, let your coaches, you know, let their coaches get your hands on you so they can mold you into the type of player that they want to see in the season. And then now, as a, you know, more veterans you get, the more guys go home, the more have their comfortable situations where they're set up at. And so, you know, us being young, guys are here. Guys are here working, trying to figure out what exactly the coaches do want from them and what they should be working on. And so once they get that down, yeah, the next few years they'll start to, you know, they'll start to spend more time in Nashville, spend more time in Atlanta, spend more time really because they know exactly what they need to work on. But right now, yeah, we're young and it's great to see the young guys in the gym. It's exciting, really.
What constitutes you feeling that maybe it's time for Isaac to you know, to spend some time away, or, you know, you mentioned Darius, like, how long does that, what do you have to be seeing to be like, you know what, take some time, like, go, like, you're working your butt off, like, you need to step away for a second, for a little bit.
No, exactly that. They're working their butts off.
They truly are. You know, Darius, when going through the whole USA basketball thing and team select, was, that's a lot, you know, that's a lot. Especially after the season, the way it was condensed and the back-to-backs and the way you look around the league and the myriad of injuries that happened were, you know,
we need time off, right? Like, yeah, our jobs are
to work. Our jobs are to get better. Our jobs are to,
you know, to improve and all that, but our jobs are also to take
care of ourselves and then listen to what our body needs. And so,
you know, as a young guy, sometimes you don't feel it, or you don't feel the exhaustion, or you don't, you know, you're like, no, I'm good to go. And you probably are, but at the same time, it does you a world of good to listen to some of these guys that have been around saying, hey, sit down, you know, stop, sit down. And that was me in LA again after practice doing 360
between the legs, windmill dunks, and, you know, my vets, Brandon Bass and Lou Wilson, young fella, there is going to be a point where you just sit down after practice and watch the young kids do it. And that's me. Right now I'm there and I'm like, guys, this season is going to come up faster than you think it is. You know, just, you know, take a week off, let your body rest, recover, and then you can get right back after it. So obviously keep working, you know, don't
stop working throughout the summer, but,
you know, a few days off,
a week off here and there, I think is healthy for any athlete.
Obviously, Larry, people have been talking for months, really, about just how crazy this offseason is going to be, not just for you guys, but around the NBA as well, with a lot of movement that could take place. Chatter about Dame, chatter about Bradley Beal. The draft, obviously, is right around the corner. Before we get into that, going back to the playoffs, like, there were a lot of new teams in the postseason. It wasn't the usual suspects. What did you make of the playoffs? Did you enjoy them more because of, as a player in the NBA, did you enjoy them more because there were fresh faces and new blood?
I did. I had an absolute ball watching the playoffs. I don't know if it was more so the fresh faces, but more so the fresh places.
Mm.
You know, I love a small market team. I think it's great, not just because I'm
in Cleveland. I loved it all. I
like
loved
a true Clevelander.
I love it. Like, so when the finals being, most of the time when there's a finals, it's like, you know, big market or big market, medium markets or something like that. And this, you know, it was like, not to say Phoenix is a small market.
Yeah.
Phoenix and Milwaukee, I'm looking at that and going, you know, it's great. Mm-hmm. This is great. You know, I don't necessarily, everybody has their team they pull for to win, or a player, or, you know, a coach or something, but for the most part, no matter who won that, I was pretty happy with just
who got there, how it took place, and the fact that,
you know, the small market teams get some love, because that's you know, that's exactly what you want
to see in a situation like ours. Like, oh great, like we don't have to have a
you know, a monster come sign here in free agency
to do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's you know, for a lot of teams that are looking to build teams, like Atlanta, they came out of nowhere, just Eastern Conference Finals. Like, that to me is
exciting if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Phoenix Suns, who drafted well and signed
a guy in free agency.
That's exciting if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers. Milwaukee, who drafted well
and made a big trade. That's exciting
if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, like, I'm looking around going like,
yeah, it's pretty cool. I like this. Yeah, I like this.
Well, it's got to be exciting then too that you find the Cavaliers at the number three pick. I mean, you know, I'm sure you don't know which way they're going to go. I'm sure they kind of keep that in house. I mean, you can alert me if otherwise, but got to be exciting to it's got to be exciting to have the number three pick ready at your fingertips.
No, it's definitely it's a heck of an
asset, that's for sure. You know, the number three pick is yeah.
I don't know anything about the guys in the draft.
I don't know anything about, like, it's so crazy. Like, I used to know all the names and where they went to school and their stats,
games were like, what position they were, what size they were, how long
their wingspan was, like, knew everything. And it's just
this year
how compact it was, and it just got away from me. And now, like, you know, obviously, you know, for a while it's been like, okay, this Cade Cunningham kid must be pretty good. But then, like,
you know, the kids on the
G League Ignite team,
I know nothing about. You know, I didn't get to watch much basketball, nor normally, like, I check them out. But gosh, it is exciting. You know, the number three pick is in any draft is great, but supposedly there's supposed to be some really good prospects, and you know, no matter what happens, you're definitely adding talent. You know, it's hard to
get a pick like this wrong.
You got 2 days to figure out all that stuff. You got plenty of time.
I am not paid to figure that stuff out.
You can just call up the front office and see if they can send you some Evan Mobley clips and some Jalen Green stuff, and you can break it down for them.
Yeah, just look. Just let me go. Let me go to lunch with them when they get there, and I'll figure out all I need to
do. Yeah.
Show them around Cleveland. Take them to some Browns training camp practices.
Well, look, been there, done that. I've been there, done that. That's what I'm here to do. So, yeah, whoever gets here, I'm sure they'll get to know me pretty quickly.
When it comes down to it, though, like, obviously for an athlete, there are big-time expectations and big-time pressure that come with being third overall pick, first overall pick, things along those lines. Did you sense that at all when you played in Los Angeles? I know you were different because you were a late first-round pick, but that pressure, is that actually something that is felt when you're in that kind of market or those kinds of expectations?
I mean, absolutely. You know, I can't speak to my own experience. Obviously, like you said, those expectations weren't on me. But, you know, the guys that were around me, you know, in a market like that, there's just so
much pressure on every pass,
every shot you take, every the shoes you
wear out of the court. You're just like, you are just
like, what's he gonna do next? Is he, you know, is it gonna be, is this our guy? And from game to game, opinions sway so quickly. You know how fast fan
bases can turn. And you know, it's
the bigger fan base, the bigger markets, the bigger teams, it comes with a whole lot of great stuff. Right, it really does.
There are perks to that
some other teams can't even touch or consider thinking about. But there is also that downside.
There is the pressure. You know, there is the, oh, if you're a 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 pick,
you are the savior of the franchise.
Point blank. Period.
So if you're not, you're a bust. You know, that's kind of it. You know, Marvin Williams, like, pick number 2. This guy had an
incredible NBA career. Yeah, he didn't save our franchise, so he's a bust.
No, right. The dude played 16 years or 15 years. Like, that is an incredible career. But, you know, that's – nobody cares. He didn't save our franchise, so.
Yeah.
To kind of – you've been able to kind of be on both ends of that spectrum, being in L.A., kind of having that spotlight, and then – I feel like you got about the best situation possible in Cleveland, just being so comfortable and people knowing you, being your dad. I mean, it kind of, do you feel like sometimes you have it a lot easier than maybe some other guys that have come before you?
In terms of just, what do you mean? My, like, where I got
drafted, like, well, comfortability, I mean, like, or?
I mean, like, coming from LA, kind of being in that spotlight, then coming to Cleveland where things are just kind of tailor-made for your situation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very fortunate to have come
to this situation, but,
you know, at the same time, like, I think, you know, I am thankful for what I, for getting picked to LA, for going through and being with those guys that I got to
learn and grow with, because,
you know, I know myself, and, you know, to an extent, I wasn't ready to be on
a good team yet.
You know, I wasn't ready to a certain extent. Like, even when
I got here and was, you know,
with Ron and those guys in the finals, I don't necessarily think I was ready.
But
what's been fortunate about being here is I've gotten to be and learn how to be comfortable in myself and not, you know, look over my shoulder as like, you know, are they going to turn on me? You know, am I still well-liked? Like, I don't. Like, you know, and all that type of stuff. So, yeah, being, you know, I'm in a very good situation. I've got
to learn and grow and get comfortable with myself and confident in my game. And
you know, that's why, you know, that's why I want us to be, I'm ready for us to make the playoffs.
I'm ready to be in these playoffs because
that's what the playoffs requires. You're going to be
confident and
versatile and, you know, comfortable in your, you know, who you are as a player. And so, you know, I'm very ready for us to get good. And once we are, I think I'm going to be a heck of an asset
once we get there.
I was going to ask you that, and I'm glad you brought it up. You know, you came here in a trade, and you were looked at as one of the guys who was supposed to help. The team was struggling at the time, and you were supposed to help turn them around and get them. I think the phrase that they used is they were marching towards nowhere, and like you were an uplifting type of player, and you were going to help with some of their flaws. So that's the team that you came to with a chance to compete for a championship and play with LeBron. And then quickly after that, they go in a different direction. They go into a rebuild, a retool, whatever you want to call it. I've talked to Kevin about this in the locker room before, but like, how tough is that mentally? Because you thought you were going to a place for one specific goal, to compete for a championship, and then that changes so quickly into your time after arriving.
So when you talk to Kevin, I guarantee you we have different answers. We're in very different places in our careers, right? Like, that was my
second and a half year in the league, right? So I just finished my third when we decided to go forward.
And I, after coming off that playoffs and realizing, like, oh man, you know, LA didn't prepare me for those, you know, I wasn't ready for those meaningful games.
Yeah.
You know, that's which was a harsh realization. I realized, like, oh
man, all right,
I need to really figure out who I am and what I do, right? Like, I know I'm good enough to just kind of hang around
the league and, you know, like, oh, guys, I'm like, let's take it.
But, you know, I want to be, you know, and that made me realize, like, okay, you know, this is a place that I'm comfortable in, that people are supportive of me, and, you know, where I can truly be myself on and off the court, where I can, you know, where I can have ugly growing games, where I can have, you know, where I can learn, like, all right, well, let me play, you know, 1 year, let me play a little bit of point guard, see how I like that, the point forward type.
hey, I can do that. That's pretty cool. You know, whereas, you know, if you're in a strict winning situation, you don't get to learn that about yourself. So that now, you know, now I catch the ball at the elbow and I don't have to think about it. Like, you know, like I can pass out of this. That's great. And so I think, you know, that's why I'm grateful for the situation I got traded into, because it made me realize exactly who I was and what I needed to do. And so now I feel like, whenever I do get to the playoffs again, you will not see the same player you saw in 18.
In any way, you mentioned how great it was to watch the playoffs and see some of these new places have the success that they did. On the other side of that, Larry, in any way, was it hard? Because, you know, New York was you guys, right? Atlanta was you guys. At one point, I guess Milwaukee was you guys. And Phoenix, the same thing. And then those teams are having success in the playoffs, and they're there in the playoffs, and you guys are having to watch that.
Yeah, I mean, that was very hard. As a player, you don't really know what you're missing until you've gotten to the playoffs and you've gotten to feel that. I love basketball, right? We all love basketball. But sure. Playoff basketball isn't just basketball. And you don't know it. Like, I couldn't sit here and explain to Darius why the playoffs are that much better than last year against Brooklyn. But they are. They're so much better than that. And so for me, watching the teams in the playoffs, yeah, there was jealousy, there was envy, there was all that. But at the same time, there was motivation, and also, I'm trying to think of the right word. There was belief that, you know, we might not be that far away. Atlanta finished with one more win than we did last year. You know, when I came to the league, Phoenix, we were the punching bag of the league in LA, but Phoenix was below us. Yeah. Like, and now they're in the finals playing in these awesome, meaningful games, and Booker is a superstar, and Ayton came into his own, and Mikal Bridges is, you know, flying out of the brig. And, you know, watching that just makes you so happy for a team like that. Same thing with Atlanta. Same thing with New York. And so, like, you look at it and you go, why not? I mean, truly, you look at it, you're like, why not?
Sure.
You know, nobody looked at the Hawks at the start of that last season, except maybe the
Hawks, and went, that right there is an Eastern Conference Finals team. Mm-hmm.
Nobody looked at the Knicks and said, besides maybe the Knicks, and said,
yeah, I like the 4 seed for them.
You know, Chris Paul going to the Suns with believing that they could get there, and everybody was kind of like, you didn't want to join one of these, you know, one of these preset teams ready and made for you. And, you know, look where they finished. So, like, coming into this year, next year, nobody's going to be looking at the Cavs going, yeah, I could see them making some noise. No, they're going to be like, yeah, it's going to be a heck of a lottery team next year. But, you know, with the way I'm looking at it, is the belief within the locker room is so far, and it goes to show what these teams have done. The belief in the locker room, the belief within the walls of our gym is so much more important than the belief of anything on the outside. So you know, if we all believe it, then for me, it was it's exciting.
Where does that belief come from then?
It has to come from within. Like, I've got it. Like, I believe in Darius. I believe in Isaac. I believe in
Colin. I believe in Jarrett.
I don't know this kid yet, but look, he doesn't have a choice. The third pick don't have a choice. He just doesn't. You know, you're going to deal with it. You know, I believe that we can make the playoffs. And that's something that
you know,
hopefully he's on board for, because, you know, that's you know, and I've talked to Darius. I've talked to these guys
in the summertime, and they're like, yeah, you know, I'm
ready to go. You know, I sent the text when the Hawks made it to the Eastern Conference Finals that just said, you know, that was like, yo, you know, these guys finished one more win than us last year. Halfway through the year, you know, we were neck and neck with them in the standings, and now they're playing, you know, they're playing for a chance to go to the finals. Like, you know,
there is no reason whatsoever that we can't do the same thing. We can't have that same kind of jump. So, you know, that belief has to come from within us. Like Darius has to come back
thinking, yeah, we can do it.
Same thing with Colin. Same thing with Isaac.
I will be, you know.
And if the players are, the coaches are going to be like, oh, okay, let's do it. And same thing, you know, that's just has to
be the attitude. And so,
you know, that'll be, you know, day one training camp in the film room or wherever we're at before we hit the court. That will literally be my speech to the team.
Are you that guy? Are you that guy, Larry, the group text message guy who initiates that kind of thing? Because I remember during the LeBron years, right after Channing Frye was traded for, and they already had Richard Jefferson, you know, Channing was the one who a lot of people, including then general manager David Griffin, said, like, he made us a team because he initiated these text messages, he initiated these team dinners and things like that on the road, and we became a family and stuff like that. So is that, like, your role? Are you the guy who initiates those group text messages and things like that?
I mean, I wouldn't say I do a lot of the dinners and stuff like that. Yes, that is.
Yeah, I do enjoy getting guys together off the court and you know, putting things like that together. So, but in terms of the text message, ours is fairly healthy. You know, I send a whole lot of the, you know, a whole lot of like the ones that aren't just like laughing at so and so that
saw something on TV that was fun, right? Like, I'll send the, hey, yo.
You guys know the Hawks
finished 19 and 52 last year, whereas we finished 15 and 53, right? Or whatever the exact record was. I'll send a lot of those ones to make, you know, the ones like, you know, all right, let's, you know, yeah, we're all friends here, but, like, let's recognize that we're still a team with a goal. Mm. So, you know, I'll send a lot of those messages. But ours, I mean, our group text message is
pretty healthy. So it's you know, it's not like I need to restart the messages and get everybody back going again. They're flowing pretty heavily.
I'll send a lot of the ones that make you think.
Larry, emojis, gifts. You mentioned the playoffs. You mentioned, you know, your belief, and I completely agree with that. What else do you need to get to the playoffs in terms of either the team or from each individual or, you know, from outside? I mean, what do you need to make the playoffs next year?
First and foremost, we need, you know, and this is on me 100%. We got to stay healthy. Mm. I had some really unfortunate freak injuries this year, you know, and I broke my hand, can't game plan for that. Broke my thumb, can't game plan for that. And then I got sick. I caught something in Utah
that even the Cleveland Clinic doesn't even.
So, pretty unfortunate. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that's something that, you know, I believe changes our fortunes quite drastically. You know, we were a pretty good team, you know, defensively especially. But, you know, as a whole, we were a team that not a lot of people had interest in
playing.
And then, you know, injuries hit, and sometimes the best team is the healthiest. And that's, I think that's where it starts for us next year.
We got to stay healthy. So I got to come back
ready to go. You know, I got to come back. You know, my hand's fully healed. I'm back in the court. My
thumb's great. So, you know, if this one breaks again, then, you know, somebody,
there's so much metal
in here. This thing is probably going to hurt somebody else more than it hurts me.
But I think health starts, and number two, big might be bigger than health, is just the belief that we can do it. Mm-hmm. And the belief is solely within the locker room walls. Nobody else has to know, so that's fine.
Leah, I'm curious, around this time of year, you know, we talked about it, there are so many different trade rumors going around. As a player, how do you handle that?
Oh man, you are talking to trade rumor general here. yeah, it's part of the business, you know. Like, it's something that is, you love, you know. I don't want to say you love to read it, but you see articles and you're like, no way, that'd be crazy.
You read them all. You read them all.
Every rumor you send to your buddies, like, yo, how wild would this be? Like, oh, I can't believe they're talking about this. And you know, it's fascinating. And then you see your name and it's like, wait, what? It's like, that's not funny anymore. This is not funny. And, but at the end of the day, it's all part of what we do. You know, it sounds corny, but you know, that's, we're all pawns in a game at the end of the day, right? Like, and if they see something that benefits the organization better than I do at this current time, then I'm sure they're going to do it. Just like, as most organizations do. And so it's something that if you stay up all night worrying about it, then you're going to lose a whole lot of sleep, because at some point in your career, you will be mentioned in a trade room. Point blank, period. You know, you see guys like superstars mentioned in trade rooms. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, if they're not safe, the rest of us aren't. So, you know, for me, I just try to tune it out. Honestly, I try to enjoy it the same as the same as it would be if it were anybody else. Like, you know, I'll send it to my buddies and go, look at this. How crazy would that be? Like 3 hours from or something. Like, you know, try to just have fun
with it, because you never know when it's
going to happen. At the end of the day, you know, none of us are truly safe. So it's part of the business, and you just can't sweat it too much.
Chris and I have both said that if you were to be traded, I think Kobe would have to find a new hideaway, a new house to live in. Some fans wouldn't come get him.
Well, I don't know if he'd have to worry about the fans. I think he might have to worry about my mom.
There you go. Even better. Even better.
Well, that's the other side of it, though, too, Larry, because I know that there's a business side, and you mentioned it. You're all pawns in the game, and if a team feels like they can improve, they're going to explore that avenue.
Yeah.
But you're also human. You know, you love it here. Your family is here. You obviously live here. So, like, has there been a trade rumor that you have seen that you were like, oh, crap? Like, and then you called Kobe or you called your agent and you were like, hey, like, what's going on here? Is this legit? Am I staying? Like, what's happening here?
Yeah, for sure. I've definitely called my agent and been like, Mark, who's trading for me? Why have I not been told? What is going on? Am I going to have to move soon? And just like, Larry, I don't even know where that came from. You're not going anywhere. Like, and that hasn't happened in a while, because he's talked me down off the cliff, you know, multiple times. And I think everybody has done that. But yeah, you're right. This is home for me, and my family's here. I live 7 minutes from my dad and mom, and
10 minutes
from my sister. And you know, when my little brother's done with college, he can move back here too. And so you're right. I'm comfortable here, and everything is. I love Cleveland. I love being here, and that's, you know, a part of me. But you know, it's also trying to dig my feet in and trying to make it more emotional than it would be if it happens is a way to get hurt.
Mm.
You know, is a way to get hurt. So like, I love it here. I will always be here. You know, no matter what happens, I'm gonna live here when I retire. You know, me and my wife have our house. This is where we're gonna be. It's where I'm going to raise my kids. And so Cleveland is always going to be a part of me. Now, you know, I play for the Cavs, and that's the coolest, that's part, you know, one of the coolest parts of it. But at the end of the day, you know, if the organization finds something that they deem is better for them than I am right now, then terrific. I'll live in Cleveland in summertime. I'll be at Guardians games. It's all good. It's okay. But, you know, trying to really dig in and tell them, you know, kick and fight and scream on your way out is just a way to make it more, you know, emotional than it has to be, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's probably not, at least for me, it wouldn't be personal. It's just, it's an organization doing what's best for them. And that I think everybody can understand. So there would be no hard feelings. It's just one of those that, like, I'll see them sometime.
Thank you for setting up the perfect transition there. Obviously that was the big news of the week. The Guardians, the new name. You're a Clevelander. What do you think? Well, I mean, what's your take?
Honestly,
yeah.
I think I was hoping for spiders if those were the only two, right? Like, I had only really seen spiders and Guardians.
Titans, and I was hoping for spiders, but it's fine. Look, I'm just glad we didn't. I'm just glad we didn't do the whole baseball team thing. It was beyond time for us to get rid of the old name, and I think it's terrific that we did, and on par with everything, you know, that our city has been about and these organizations have been about. So, you know, kudos for that. But at the same time, spiders, man, spiders.
Logo, thumbs up or thumbs down? You've seen the logo.
I've seen the logo. It's cool. To me, it doesn't necessarily look like a Major League Baseball logo. I don't know. I'll wear it on a hat for sure, but I don't know. It's going to take some getting used to. But I didn't like, you know, I didn't immediately love Rocket Mortgage Buildings. I thought it was, you know, I'm not great with change, but now it's just, hey, I'm headed to Romo Fijo.
I've never heard that one. Romo Fijo.
It's Romo Fijo. It used to be the Q. And I've heard people call it the Rock, but yeah, it's Romo Fijo.
Romo Fijo. That's amazing. I'm going to start using that. Romo Fijo.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
I think, Larry, I think the Guardians logo looks like somebody slapped something together on old school clip art. And just, my prediction is that thing goes the way of the dodo by the time the regular season starts next year.
You think so? Okay, what were you hoping for? What was the name that you were hoping?
I wanted Commodores.
I could have gone with Commodores. What is a Commodore?
I mean, it's like kind of like a captain. Like it's the guy who led the Navy, I guess, if you want to say.
Okay.
What?
My only problem with that is you already have the Cleveland Cavaliers next door. Then you have the Lake County Captains. A lot of C's. And then, you know, a lot of Commodores, Captains, Cavaliers. Like, it's a lot of C's.
Yeah.
See, I wasn't necessarily concerned with the C's. It was more so like,
And like what?
I would rather have an actual, we had an actual mascot. The Cavs don't really have, like, yeah, we have Moondog, but Moondog isn't a Cavalier.
Sir CeCe, you know, man, come on.
For sure, we have Sir CeCe, right, but he kind of came along recently.
That's true.
The Browns, you know, the Browns.
The Elf.
Right? Yes. Exactly. That is not a Brown. I don't necessarily know what a Brown is, but it would have been, right, and we could have at least had a big old spider and have, you know, at center field racing somebody or something. You know what I mean?
I thought it'd been cool if they, like, everybody wants Groot to be the mascot for the Guardians, like, cause like the Guardians of the Galaxy and all that. I thought it would have been cool if Spider-Man was the mascot for the spiders.
That would have been cool. I think we would have gotten sued by Marvel Universe pretty quick.
But like Marvel could have been part of it. Could have been like Spider-Man sponsored by Marvel. Like,
hey, look, if we can get Spider-Man slinging down some, you know, slinging some webs and whatnot, I'm all for it. That'd be great. But I don't know what you're going to do with Guardian.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing was, like, one of the things that this city has is Lake Erie. And nobody has played off of that except for the Monsters at one point in time. So, like, you have that. This is a great boating city. Like, play off of that. And you mentioned it, Hayden. Yeah, they do have the captains for a reason. Obviously. I mean, if you can go with Admirals, if you could go with the Cleveland Shores, Commodores, I would have been on board with any of those things that were nautical. That's just me.
I'm going to take over for like 30 seconds. I wanted the Cleveland Blues because I think the Cleveland Blues, you could play off the Browns, the Reds. You could play off the Lake Erie being blue sometimes. And then you could play off like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with the blues, like kind of like the music thing. I thought you could have like, either way, you could have like found a way to navigate it. And like,
I appreciate that. That's that's creative at least. But creative, again,
right, exactly.
What is your mascot?
That's the great question.
Like Slider. The dog from Lost Clues or something.
Slider's the mascot, regardless.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we all can agree that Guardians seems a little bit like, we got to change the name. What do you think? Guardians, great. Let's go with that. Release it.
Larry's lukewarm response to you, Hayden, is essentially a writer writing that a coach is a great guy. Like, you've got nothing else to say about the coach.
No,
you can't talk about his X's and O's.
It's hard.
You can't talk about his rotations and his timeout usage. So you're just like, he's great.
It's hard. It's a hard thing to do to rename a team, you know?
It truly is.
And like Larry said, the best thing is that I think we all agree that it was time and, like, you know, they did the right thing and we all just got to embrace it.
Yeah, I would have embraced Spiders a little bit more, but Guardians it is.
The other team in town that you're a fan of, the Browns, how excited are you for the upcoming season?
Oh, man. I'm not sure if I would. It's comparable with last year. It's on par with last year. And that was hard to beat. I'm super excited. I don't know. I think our defense is going to be an absolute problem. Like, if I'm fortunate enough to, like, have my snake drafts of fantasy football, if it goes around, I'm going to be the first guy to take a defense, and it's going to be the Browns. Because I'll tell you what, do you want to snap the ball and look left and go, great, Miles. Look right and go, Clowney. All right.
Nope.
I don't either. So, you know, that's where I'm going.
The over-under, I think, is 10.5. Is that right, Hayden? The win total?
I believe
10.5?
So.
I think that's what it is. Over or under? I almost don't even have to ask you.
I don't know.
How many over? How many over is the better question?
How many over?
If the over-under was 15.5, guess what? Over! Smash the over!
Well, now it'd be 16.5.
That's right, 16.5. You know what? I looked at their schedule and I really don't like it. I don't like it at all. I forget whether it's the Ravens or the Steelers, but we play a team before the bye and that exact team after the bye. And I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Because
it's Baltimore.
It's Baltimore, which I hate more than Steelers.
But the only good, I think, Larry, the only good news about that is that Baltimore plays Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and then Cleveland between, and the Browns get that bye in the middle.
Yeah, that's true. And Pittsburgh and Baltimore are going to beat the heck out of each other. So yeah. I'll take it. I don't know. To me, that's just so close for adjustments. Maybe. Which one's first, home or away?
I think. Well, that's what we have computers for.
Yeah, let's look it up.
I would hope home is first. I want home first.
I think the first one is home. I'm pretty sure. Let's see.
Could my computer be slower? My God, away is the first one.
Okay, there you go. So that helps.
If we beat them there, then all the pressure's on them. They gotta come and beat them.
That's true. Week one's the Chiefs.
The one there is a Sunday night football.
You said week one's the Chiefs. I got a hefty wager with Dean Wade.
What is it? What's the wager?
Oh, it's, I mean, one of us is going to have to wear a Mahomes or Mayfield jersey in the game. You know, so I really don't want to wear a Patrick Mahomes jersey. I'll do all I can. If the Chiefs win, I'm going to do all I can to convince him that it's okay if I wear a Travis Kelce.
that's cheating, but it's fair.
It's cheating, but it's still within the rules.
It's fair. Is that part of your plan for training camp? I remember 2 years ago you brought in Dean and I think Darius and
Dylan.
Yeah, Dylan to training camp. Are you going to try to get those guys out again?
Yeah, I definitely would. You know, that's something that, you know, it's cool for those guys to get to meet some of the guys on the other team. Obviously, we're all in such a, you know, in such a different profession that, you know, you get to meet somebody like that that we all watch on TV. It's very cool, you know, so possible friendships and whatnot. It's great for those guys to, you know, come out and see what, I mean, to be honest with you, Cleveland fans are more excited about.
Mm-hmm.
No matter, look, we could win, we could literally be coming off our 18th championship in a row, and guess what? People are going to be like, yeah, but how about those Browns?
is that hard to deal with? I mean, is that something that, like, I mean, it's, I mean, you say it, and obviously that means that you're thinking about it, other guys thinking about it. I mean, is that tough for the team to deal with?
No, not at all. No, not at all. We're not, no, that's not something that any of us care about at all. We're right. happy for them. Like I'm, you know, I was a Clevelander before I was a Cavalier. So I'm, you know, I'm as excited as everybody else is about the Browns. So, no, I mean, we're our own, we're two completely different entities, and you know, it's not like, you know, we're not fighting for television time or anything like that. Or so, yeah, I think I would hope, you know, they're excited for us and we're excited for them, and you know, and you know, we're all excited for the Guardians. I'm excited for Cleveland baseball team, but I don't know if I'm excited for them. So
I was gonna say, I'm not as excited for the Guardians. I'm excited for the players that play for the Guardians.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
All right. So I think it was around this time that you made a bold prediction last year that Darius was going to have a monster breakout second season. Is that right? Do I have that right?
Yeah. Look, was I wrong?
No, you were right. I mean, he was really good this year. So now I'm going to put you on the spot and make you make other predictions. How's that sound?
Okay. I've got a prediction that I've been sitting on since last few games of the season.
Okay, what's that prediction then?
Isaac Okoro.
Yeah.
And this one right here, I don't know if I can make it for the upcoming season, but when the dust has settled in 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. people are going to look back and go, he went fifth?
Mm.
I think he's going to be you know, when the Cavs do what the Hawks did, you're gonna look at Isaac and be like, man, he turned into that. That's pretty awesome. I think he's gonna be really tough to deal with. Obviously on both ends of the court, but offensively he didn't even care about offense. Not even a little bit. And has gotten to do some of the things that he does. His transition finishing, his athleticism, his stature and structure for the way he's built for a 19-year-old is special. And so I think, barring all the knock on woods, I think he's going to be special.
What is it about him that over the last couple games you kind of felt that way?
The kid has never played a pick and roll. The kid has he's never played as a lead guard. He's never played with the ball in his hands. He's never done any of that. And to step into an NBA arena, right? Darius is hurt. I think Colin may have turned his ankle or something, but for whatever reason, like Isaac was our main primary ball handler. And to do some of the things and see some of the reads that he saw and or didn't see, and then 2 games later did see his rapid improvement, that was something that I think should be looked at. I think should be looked at more and dived into more a little bit, because I think he, watching it from the sidelines, was like, man, this kid's got something, and it's, you know, obviously he's physical, he's strong, and all that stuff. But I think his IQ is something that, he's a quiet kid, so you never really hear him talk too much. But his IQ is something that might grow with the best of him.
Yeah.
And he adjusts and learned pretty quickly.
I think the other thing that people are underestimating, Larry, is just how weird last season was for a rookie. And that the things that normal rookies got in the past that he didn't get.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Last year was, you know, this is my sixth year. Last year was, could have been my first in terms of how uncomfortable we all were. You know, Isaac hasn't experienced the NBA yet. Really hasn't. Like, towards the end of the year a little bit, and it's kind of crazy to say that since he – you know, went from guarding Luka, then to Jason Tatum, then to Luka, then to Kawhi, then to, you know, so, you know, he went through the ringer with that, but at the same time, he hasn't gotten to see that energy in the building. He hasn't gotten to feel he hasn't gotten to be around it. And I can't necessarily tell you what's going to be so much different other than just the energy, right?
Yeah. Like,
all those people in the building do make a tremendous difference to the effort level in which you can put it, right? Like if you put an Olympic athlete, 100 meter dash, and they just in an empty gym by themselves, you know, you've got to go run your 100 meters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's fast, but you put them in the Olympics and that's when you see world records broken, because the adrenaline, the energy, the moment that you can feel that. And that's what he hasn't necessarily gotten to feel. And all of last year kind of felt like pickup, like we were in a back gym, just kind of playing pickup games.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Isaac is one of your big predictions. I have a question though. Around the NBA, there's a lot of chatter, Dame, Beal, Kawhi, Chris Paul, and what's going to happen with him. What's your big prediction on the biggest move that happens around the NBA this offseason?
Oh, man.
I know you got to have one that you've thought about.
One that I've thought about. I mean, I think and hope that Dame stays.
Okay.
You know, obviously partial to smaller markets. I think, you know, it's very cool that a guy like that remains there. I mean, is the obvious Ben Simmons trade on the horizon? Is that a take? Is that a take anymore?
Sure, I think that's a take.
Okay, yeah, then that's my take. I think it'd be good for both parties for him to get out of Philadelphia. I don't know where to. Obviously, I don't know what any of that is. I don't know contract situations and massive salary cap matching and all that stuff. That is not what I'm paying. So I genuinely think that a new situation can be a breath of fresh air for a guy. So I think he's going to move to a different spot. It's going to be a great spot. I think he's going to, I'm a fan, you know, as everybody's bashing him, I'm still a fan of the kids. He's a 23-year-old all-star. Like, let's not forget that. So he's going to go somewhere and, you know, reinvent himself as an absolute nightmare.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that. What do you make of this idea that his value has, let's use the term diminished, based on what he did or didn't do in the playoffs? Do you think that's just ridiculous?
I think it has, but I think it's ridiculous. Because to me, right, like if you're going to pay a guy max money, they have to be on the court at the end of the game.
Right.
You know, and to me, there is only one, there's only one difference, but the difference between him and Giannis to me, where Giannis is in a terrific free throw shooter, but he don't care. He's going to keep coming downhill and make you foul him. And he's going to go to the line and he's going to shoot him. He'll make some, he'll miss some. And in game 6 of the finals, he'll go 17 of 19 and win you a championship.
Yeah.
Like, I think once, you know, if I were Ben, you know, I'd be obviously a lot richer, but I'd be looking at Giannis and going like, oh, wait, so he can't really shoot free throws that well either, but he just goes anyway. Oh, cool. All right, that's fine. You know, if that's all they want, then yeah, I can do that. And so I think once he embraces the fact that, like, you're going to hit foul, you're going to go to the line, and, you know, make more than you miss, and great. They can't take you off the court because of everything else that you can do. You know, he's an all-world defensive player. He's can see the court, and his basketball IQ is as high as anybody you can hope for in the game. So once he realizes that little thing of go despite them fouling, you know, make your free throws, miss them, of course, work on them. But, like, you know, whether you make or miss them is less important than is less important than you stopping Bill, because that shows you, you know, they got you.
Yeah.
So I think that's the most important lesson, you know, if I could, you know, impart any wisdom, and, you know, as my elderly statesman at 28, that's what I would do. But I would, if I were a front office, I'd take him in a heartbeat.
I was going to say, you're getting up there in age now.
Okay, now, look here. I'm not getting up there in age. Don't do that. Just because I'm surrounded by 20 and 21-year-olds doesn't mean that I'm old. I just finished my sixth year in the league. Like, look, I'm not old.
I was looking at the roster the other day, and I think you're one of three or four 27 or older on the roster.
OKC was what, the youngest
yeah.
roster in the league or something.
Mm-hmm.
If you took, wasn't like if you took Cav or Nelly off our team, we would have been the youngest. Or so there was some stat that I saw that, like, you know, one of our ancient old men was holding us back from being the youngest. So if you put me on Golden State, they're like, man, this guy's only 28.
Right.
It's all perspective now. It's all perspective.
That's true.
Plus I feel like I feel like I'm like 23. It's great.
It's all about how you feel. Age is nothing but a number.
That's what I'm saying. Hanging around these young guys makes me feel young. Who knows? I might get back out there after workouts and start windmilling and put it between my legs.
There you go. Why not?
Nice.
Why not? Chris, did you have another prediction?
Question? Yeah, one more. Yeah, one more. Just because I know you love making predictions.
I hate it.
Does Team USA win gold in men's basketball?
Oh, this is so cruel.
Why? You have too many friends? All right.
It's not even that. It's just like, you know what we're all thinking, right? I don't know. I think they figure it out, right? Like, I think they're going to see their backs up against the wall and figure it out. But after what Luka just did the other day, I think they got to figure some things out, because, you know, 48, 11, and 5 in European play is no joke.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're going to figure it out and get it back on track. I mean, you just added three, you know, championship level players to the roster, so. They need some time. I think this next game against Iran will be a good, hopefully, scrimmage for them.
Mm.
And, they can figure all that out. But I think they're too talented to struggle for too much longer.
Does it surprise you when they, quote-unquote, struggle against some of these other international teams at this point?
No. Now, if we were playing, if they had NBA refs and an NBA-style game, we wouldn't even be having this discussion, because they would have won every game by 25-30. But the European game is different, right? Like, it's refereed differently. It's, a lot of it is like when you see, you know, I'm a soccer guy, so like when you see teams from La Liga in Spain play against a Premier League team, they're like getting knocked down, beat up, ran through, and all that type of stuff. It's just so much more physical. And it's almost like that's what Team USA is going through right now. They're like trying to navigate how to play this new game. Like, obviously, right, they're talented, but it's still the same game within the description of it, but it's different, some different lines of the course, some different rules. You know, some of that ISO stuff doesn't work quite as well, and so it's definitely an adjustment, but I think they'll figure it out.
All right, I won't make you make any more predictions.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It had to be tough as Kevin's friend and teammate. I mean, it had to be tough to watch him kind of have to leave that situation. Mm-hmm. Did you talk to him about it, and how's he doing?
Yeah, I talked to him. Obviously, it's not how he envisioned it going, or anybody really envisioned it going. But at the same time, you know, he seems in a good space and still motivated, you know, to come back healthy and better than ever for us. So, you know, for me, again, as a you know, as a teammate and a friend. You know, I'm happy he's good. You know, I'm happy he's in a good place. And I just, as a Cavs player as well, I hope he, you know, I hope he does come back ready, because, you know, as we've all seen, a healthy Kevin Love is still a very, very good basketball player.
All right, Larry, we're going to let you go. We appreciate your time very, very much. Thank you for joining us. And congratulations. We forgot to congratulate you on your award from, was it Bleacher Report?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's definitely something.
There it is. You're not going to see that on the podcast, but there it is.
Yeah, it's a giant blue and purple letter K.
Exactly what you wanted.
Exactly what I was hoping for.
But I mean, appreciate obviously it, a very, very well-deserved award for all you did for local small businesses in Cleveland. And Larry currently is wearing his Shop Small Support Local shirt. So well deserved. And I know, you know, plenty of businesses that you kind of put out there were super, 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 super appreciative of your efforts. So I wanted to mention that before we get out of here.
Well, I appreciate it. That that means the world, and you know, hopefully, we get to do something similar this upcoming season.
Yeah, keep it going. Why not? There's still small businesses. They need the help. So,
hey, we got some ideas.
Good. Well, enjoy the draft on Thursday night, Larry, and enjoy the rest of your off season. Maybe we'll talk to you before. Maybe we won't. We'll see what happens. All right. But either way, we'll probably see you at a training camp at some point.
I'm sure you will. All right, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Larry. And thank you, everyone, for listening to the Wine and Gold Talk podcast. Check us out on cleveland.com/Cavaliers very soon.